And indeed, and I saw Tityus, son of the great goddess Earth, stretched on the ground and covering nine roods as he lay. A pair of vultures sat by him, one on either side, plucking at his liver, penetrating deep into his body. And his hands were powerless to drive them off. This was his punishment for assaulting Leto, the glorious consort of Zeus, as she made her way to Pytho across the pleasant plains of Panophius. I also saw the awful agonies that Tantalus has to bear. The old man was standing in a pool of water which nearly reached his chin, and his thirst drove him to unceasing efforts, but he could never reach the water to drink it. For whenever he stooped in his eagerness to drink, it disappeared. The pool was swallowed up, and all there was at his feet was the dark earth, which some mysterious power had drained dry. Trees spread their foliage high over the pool and dangled fruits above his head. Pear trees and pomegranates, apple trees with their glossy burden, sweet figs and luxuriant olives. But whenever the old man made to grasp them with his hands, the wind would toss them up towards the shadowy clouds. Then I witnessed the torture of Sisyphus as he wrestled with a huge rock with both hands. Bracing himself and thrusting his hands and feet, he pushed the boulder uphill to the top. But every time, as he was about to send it toppling over the crest, its sheer weight turned it back, and once again towards the plain, the pitiless rock rolled down. So once more he had to wrestle with the thing and push it up, while the sweat poured from his limbs and the dust rose high above his head. Next after him I observed the mighty Heracles, his wraith that is to say, since he himself banquets with the immortal gods and has for a wife Hebe of the slim ankles, the daughter of almighty Zeus and golden sandaled Hera. For the dead around him there rose a clamour of noise, of the noise of wild fowl taking him off in alarm. He and an arrow on the string glanced ferociously this way and that though about to shoot. Terrible too was the golden belt he wore as a baldric cover over his breast, depicting miraculous scenes, bears, wild boars and glaring lions, conflict and battle, bloodshed and massacre of men. That baldric was a masterpiece that no one should have made. May the craftsman who conceived the work never make another. One look was enough to tell Heracles who I was, and he greeted me with winged words. Heaven-born son of Laertes, Odysseus, master of stratagems, unhappy man. So, you too are working out some such miserable doom as I endured when I lived in the light of the sun. Though I was the son of Zeus, unending troubles came my way, for I was bound in service to a master far beneath my rank, who used to set me the most arduous labors. Once thinking that no other task could be more difficult to me, he sent me down here to bring back the hound of hell. And under the guiding hands of Hermes and bright-eyed Athene, I succeeded in capturing him and leading him out of Hades' realm. Heracles said no more, but withdrew into the house of Hades, while I lingered on there, in hope that I might yet be visited by other men of note who had perished long ago. And now I might have seen men of still earlier times whom I so much wanted to see, Theseus and Pirithous, those legendary children of the gods. But before that could happen, the tribes of the dead came up and gathered round me in their tens of thousands, making their eerie clamour. Sheer panic turned me pale. I feared the dread Persephone might send up from Hades' hall the gorgon head of some ghastly monster. I hurried off to my ship and told my men to embark and loose the horses. They climbed in at once and took their seats at the oars, and the current carried her down the river of Ocean, helped first by our oars and later by a friendly breeze.